From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Thursday, April 18th, and here are today's headlines. Vermont House lawmakers in a key tax writing committee yesterday advanced the annual bill that sets property taxes to pay for schools. But those who hope the legislature might be able to head off skyrocketing tax increases will find only modest relief in the legislation. Lawmakers are proposing to very slightly buy down property taxes using a surcharge on short-term rentals and a sales tax on cloud software. But the average property owner would still see a double-digit increase in their property tax bill. The committee considered more ambitious cost containment strategies, but ultimately decided they didn't have enough time to properly vet them. Representative Catherine Sims remarked before the panel's vote that sometimes you have to go slow to go fast.
We need more modeling. We need more data. We need more folks at the table co-creating that solution.
The bill still must get the full House's approval before it heads to the Senate. And speaking of school budgets, the Roxbury Select Board has filed a lawsuit against Montpelier-Roxbury Public Schools over the district's handling of its budget vote on town meeting day. The Select Board says the district held an online-only informational meeting after voting had already begun. And members believe that resulted in a failed budget vote on March 5th, according to a Select Board press release. The Select Board is asking a judge to reinstate the original budget from March 5th for a revote. Members are also requesting the judge cancel an upcoming vote on a new budget proposal. No need for alarm if you happen to see sections of forest ablaze in Ripton yesterday. Crews are conducting springtime controlled burns in the Green Mountain National Forest, and that included a 12-acre patch of forest in Ripton. A portion of forest in Pomfret along the Appalachian Trail also was subjected to a controlled burn. Forest supervisors use fire almost every year to manage wildlife habitat. That includes grassy open areas and oak forests. Ryan Hughes manages controlled burns for national forests in the region. He says fire is a natural part of the landscape.
We are increasingly burning more and more. You know, we're recognizing that the climate's changing, the forests are changing, we're seeing more fires. You know, in the past century, we've done a really good job of suppressing fires, but we do have a history of large fires here in New England.
His crews just finished burning in the Finger Lakes National Forest in New York. They're planning to burn between 200 to 600 acres in Vermont this year. Doctors at the University of Vermont Cancer Center are studying a new way of treating rectal cancer. Patients in an ongoing clinical trial are treated with radiation, chemotherapy, and close surveillance with the goal of avoiding difficult surgery. Dr. Randy Holcomb directs UVM's Cancer Center, and yesterday on Vermont Edition, Holcomb said they're currently enrolling more patients in the trial, and early data is promising.
The early results from this study suggest that as many as 50% of patients may be able to avoid rectal cancer surgery, which would be a great advancement and not having to go through that kind of surgery and potentially getting a colostomy.
A 2024 report from the American Cancer Society finds that colorectal cancer rates are rising significantly among people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Two Vermonters have been awarded prestigious fellowships from the Guggenheim Foundation. They're included in a group of 188 people this year, making their mark in the social sciences, the natural sciences, the humanities, and the creative arts. One of the Vermont recipients, White River Junction's Vivie Francis, is an award-winning poet and Dartmouth College Associate Professor of English and Creative Writing. According to 7 Days, she's currently working on her fifth book, Cleaning the Houses of the Dead, which takes a broad look at the ideas of labor and cleaning. South Stratford's Laura Ogden also received a fellowship. She's a Dartmouth College professor of anthropology and a special advisor to the college's provost on climate and sustainability. Ogden says she plans to use the fellowship to complete her current project, The Book of Birds, a memoir of extinction. It's about efforts to save the California condor. And coming up, a literal growing effort in Maine to help incarcerated people in one prison get fresh produce added to their daily meals. That's after this. Plastic trays holding scoops of unrecognizable food without a fresh fruit or vegetable in sight. These are the kind of rations many incarcerated people across the country are fed day after day, including at Mountain View Correctional Facility in Maine when it first appears in a new documentary.
Even if you ate everything on the tray, you still wouldn't be full. To know that you're gonna get these exact same meals every single day, and to know the quality of the meal is gonna be that same quality, it really just puts you in a kind of a lull. You're hungry, but you're not looking forward to going to the chow hall.
Then, one organic farmer set out to transform that model with fresh food in 2018. That process also transformed the incarcerated people who benefited. The documentary Seeds of Change, Breaking Free from the Prison Food Machine, captures the story of the farmer Mark McBrine and several incarcerated men who planted enormous garden plots on 5 acres of land outside the prison. The film is part of Vermont Public's local film series called Made Here, and it's streaming on our website right now and airing on our main television channel tonight at 8. Vermont Public's Mary Engish spoke to Portland, Maine-based filmmaker Max Armstrong, who directed Seeds of Change. And he started by talking about how the project came together.
Yeah, I had recently moved to Maine, was working in Maine, and I really wanted to tell a Maine story. One day, I was reading some articles, and I came across this story about a prison in Maine with a 5-acre regenerative garden. And I couldn't get the story out of my head. And I thought, well, they're never going to let me in. Prisons are notoriously difficult to get access to. So I thought, well, you know, I'll find another one. But I couldn't get the story out of my head. And after about a week, I thought, let me just try to reach out, get a hold of the farmer, and they'll say no, and then I can move on. And I got a hold of that farmer, Mark McBrine, and he got me in touch with Commissioner Randall Liberty, the commissioner of the Maine Department of Corrections. And I spoke to Randall for about 15 minutes, and he said, well, I'm in charge of the entire Maine Department of Corrections, and I like you, and I want to tell this story, so we're going to give you full access to all of our facilities, and I'm in charge, so that means everyone has to let you in.
Oh my gosh. And you said that you couldn't get it out of your head initially. What do you think appealed to you about this particular story?
Well, nearly 50% of Americans have a close family member who's been incarcerated. I have several. So incarceration has touched my life personally, and I also believe in the power of a wholesome meal. And so those two ideas really came together in this story. And I just didn't know if there was going to be somebody else out there who's going to take this deep dive and spend the amount of time and energy and effort to tell a story about a garden.
And why did the farmer, Mark McBrine, decide to launch the organic food program at Mountain View?
Mark is a lifelong organic farmer, regenerative farmer. And so these are the kind of meals that he's provided to his family for his whole life. From the very beginning, he knew he wanted to work his way into the kitchen and take over the culinary program there. And in 2018, he was finally able to convince them to give him control of the garden operations over there. And that's how the program started.
It's probably something that most of us really don't think about every day. But can you describe how impactful food is in the prison system generally?
It's enormously impactful. And, you know, prison food is one of those things where it's become this sort of comic relief. You know, we joke about it, we talk about prison food, prison slop, but I don't think it's an issue that we really think critically about. At least I didn't until I started making this film, and I realized this is a real problem. Mealtime, that's the time during an incarcerated person's day where there's any opportunity to be any sort of variety or really any sort of joy in their day. Other than eating, your day is pretty rote. It's pretty routine. Same thing day in, day out. Food, it's an opportunity to provide wellness, dignity, meaning into an incarcerated person's life.
Mm. And you mentioned that you were granted pretty much full access into the prison while making this documentary. And you filmed some of the portions inside the kitchen area, the cafeteria where they're prepping all the food, and then also outdoors where the men were working, you know, hands in the soil in these organic gardens. I'd love to know, was there a difference in the inmates between the spaces when they're indoors and when they're outside in the gardens?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the major reasons why the garden crew, why those guys volunteer for those positions. You know, nobody's forced to work out in the garden. There's a big difference between working in, you know, a prison farm, forced labor, and this sort of work, which is voluntary work. And the guys choose to go out there and do it because they want to be out in nature and they want to have their hands in the dirt. And they want to have an opportunity to provide something to the other residents in the facility. I think that's something that really shines through in my interviews and in the film, was that there's a lot of pride for being able to provide something that makes other people's lives better.
What did you find out about the impact that this garden project has had on the recidivism rate at the Maine prison?
Well, I know just, and you know, I'm not an expert on these statistics, but I think Maine's recidivism rate is 50%, somewhere around 50% lower than the national average. I would say that speaks to Maine's practices, you know, that these programs are working, right? And that these are people who, they're going to be our neighbors again, right? So we want them to succeed. So we want to give them an opportunity to learn skills, whether they're skills out in the garden or whether they're culinary skills, right? But more importantly, we just want to treat them like humans, right? We don't want to take away their fundamental human rights. I don't know. I think that when you lose that, it makes it a lot more difficult to gain your footing when you get out of prison.
I noticed, too, in the film credits that it mentions that last year, every single facility in the Maine Department of Corrections had planned to implement this regenerative ag program. Did that come to pass in 2023?
Yeah, Mark is working on it. Mark McBrien is now in charge of all of the garden programs, all the agricultural programs at all five DOC facilities. It's a lot more complex when you are in a maximum security unit where you have a lot more restrictions and regulations on the tools you can use. You have a lot less space. And so I think those are challenges that they're overcoming as they develop this program further.
Wow, that's so cool. If we can document positive effects from these types of programs, why aren't they the norm in more prison systems across the country?
They used to be. There used to be prison gardens, right? Back in the 70s, that was a lot more common to see a prison garden. I think a lot of these programs were done away with by politicians and figures who said, well, prison is supposed to be punishing, and so we shouldn't have programs that that give people any semblance of meaning or wellness or dignity. That's a tough barrier to overcome, is that there are people out there who think that prison should be solely punishing. What I say to that is that, well, the loss of your liberty and the separation from your family, that is the punishment, right? But a decent meal, that's a human right.
That was filmmaker Max Armstrong speaking with host Mary Angish. His documentary, Seeds of Change, Breaking Free from the Prison Food Machine, is the latest entry in Vermont Public's Made Here film series. It's available to stream on our website now. It will also air on our main TV channel tonight at 8. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lola Dufour, Adia Golston, Lexi Krupp, and Michaela Lafrac. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.